Praise God. Good to see you. Amen. Glory to God. For the last, almost 10 Wednesday nights, I think, we talked about the Holy Spirit. And so we're not going to continue on that tonight, but, we didn't exhaust the subject, and I hope it stirred you up. For one thing, because I know I'm talking to believers, most that are filled with the Spirit, but I hope it stirs you up to pray in tongues more. I'm stirred up to pray in tongues more, and I'm making effort to do that. Some people just every once in a while say a few words in tongues just say a few things. But, when you realize that you build yourself up on your most holy faith, when you realize that you edify yourself when you pray in other tongues, when you realize you pray divine mysteries, these are hidden secrets. They're not hidden from God. They're hidden from you, and they're things that God wants to reveal to you. Amen. And so as you pray those things out, they are revealed to you. So revelation helps you get revelation from God. It helps you bypass your mind and pray for things that you don't even know that need prayer. Or even if you know they need prayer, you don't always know how to pray as you ought. And so for all those different reasons, like Brother Hagin, he'd say it this way. He'd say, when I prayed in tongues, the more I prayed in tongues, the more power I had, the more strength I had, the more ability I had in my own personal life. And in my ministry, the more I prayed in tongues, the more revelation I had. The more I prayed in tongues, the more gifts of the Spirit operated in my life. Now, he's going to operate in gifts that are particular to his calling as a prophet. So those gifts may not operate in your life like that. But whatever it is you're called to do in the body of Christ, then that anointing is going to be there, on you. And so many good things happen as we pray in tongues. So I encourage you to pray in tongues. I know I've been... I made up my mind to do something just to be practical about it. I usually pray on the way into church, so I'm praying anyway. But I decided when I go home every afternoon, because when I go home every afternoon, sometimes I just turn on talk show, or nothing, just blank-minded, so to speak. And so, but I pray in tongues on the way home. Well, that's 10 minutes. And then when I come to church, I'm usually praying for the service, but sometimes it's just, the normal prayers we would pray in English. But so when I come back to church, I pray in tongues. Even tonight, when I go home, like during baseball season, I'm a big Braves fan. I like to listen to the Braves. So on Wednesday, I'll turn on the radio and listen to the Braves. But no, even though today I've already prayed, I prayed in tongues when I went home. If I do anything extra during the day when I'm in the car, like just 2 days ago, I went to the south end of town, then I had to go all the way to the north end of town. Well, instead of just turning on the talk radio, conservative talk radio, I prayed in tongues that whole way. And so tonight when I prayed today, my own personal prayer time, I prayed going home. When I left to go home, I prayed coming to church. When we leave tonight, I will have worked all day. I will have preached the message. We'll have already had just come out of prayer for 45 minutes but when I go home, I will pray in tongues all the way home. Well, that's 30 minutes of praying in tongues more than I used to do. And I'm doing that daily, and I'm telling you, I've been doing it, and I'm going to keep doing it because it makes a difference. So I encourage you, if nothing else out of that series, to pray in tongues as a Spirit-filled believer. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, let's open our Bibles to Acts chapter 20. We'll see a couple of verses here, then get to our main text. Acts chapter 20. Praise God. Acts 20, verse number 22. Paul says, And see now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But notice what he says in verse 24, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear myself. Why? So that I might finish my race with joy and the ministry. So you change that around. So that I might joyfully finish my race and my ministry, which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. So Paul said, the only thing that matters to me above all other things is that I joyfully finish my particular race and my ministry. Amen. And when he talks about his race, he means his spiritual race. Paul four or five times calls what God has commissioned us to do and called us to do, he likens that to a race, a natural race. And so we're all running our own particular race. Whatever it is that God has called you to do and commissioned you to do, that's your spiritual race. We're all called to do certain things. We're all called to take the gospel to the world. We're all called to grow in Christ and mature and become Christ-like. Amen. And then everybody is commissioned by God to do different things in the body of Christ. So Paul says, the only thing that matters to me is that with joy I finish my particular race and fulfill my ministry. Glory to God. And then along these same lines, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, hallelujah, verse 24. Paul says, do you not know that those who run in a race, he's talking about a natural race, they all run, but only one receives the prize. Run in such a way that you may obtain it. I like, in my Bible, I just wrote, run to win, because that's what he really means. He says, run to win. And everyone who competes in the prize is temperate in all things. They do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable run. So run your spiritual race. Run in such a way that you win. Run in such a way that you obtain the prize. Amen. It's important that you start your race. The King James that says your course. Amen. So it's important that you get on course. It's important that you stay on course. And it's important that you finish your course. Or if you prefer, you could say it this way. It's important that you start your race, that you get in the race. You see, you can't win if you don't ever start. So you do have to start. Some people have never really started, but you have to start. You have to get in there. That's a must. But it's also important that you stay in the race and finish your race. Amen. Really, it's more important that you finish than you start, but you can't finish unless you do first start. Glory to God. So just because you start doesn't mean you stay on course and finish. Now, with that background, let's go over to 2 Timothy chapter 3, and we'll get to where we're headed here tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10. 2 Timothy 3:10 through 14 here. He says, but you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, long-suffering, and perseverance. Persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Don't you like that? Amen. Amen. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Verse 14, notice this. But you must continue. Everybody say continue. Continue. You must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. Well, are there some things you've learned over the years and been assured of? You must continue and the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. To continue in the things which we have learned and have been assured of and been convinced of. Amen. I want to call your attention again to that word continue. To continue means to keep on keeping on. Amen. To not waver, to not back up, to not slack off. It certainly means to not stop or quit. So if we quit, if we back off, if we give up, we're not continuing. Isn't that right? Amen. And it's interesting, just that word continue, especially when you look it up in other translations, but even in the King James Bible, when you look up that word continue, the Bible in the New Testament tells us to continue in the Word. It tells us to continue in God's love. It tells us to continue in the grace of God, to continue in the faith, to continue in prayer. It says, let brotherly love continue. It says, continue in that which you have learned and continue in God's goodness. And then Galatians 6:9 says, don't grow weary and give up when it comes to giving. That's the context there. Don't grow weary or give up when it comes to your giving. For in due season you shall reap if you don't quit. Well, it doesn't use the word continue, but it's saying you are to continue to do good and you are to continue to give, because if you do the opposite of continuing, if you grow weary, if you quit, then you won't reap in due season. Amen. You can see that it's all important that we continue. Our future well-being, our future success, our continued success, all depends on it. Our children need us to continue. Our grandchildren need us to continue. Are you listening to me? Amen. Praise God. You know, I know in Margaret's and our lives, you know, we both dedicated our lives to the Lord and, you know, became super turned on Christians, determined to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, and mind, and body, and strength. And it affected Sheila, and it affected Heather, and it affected Sheila's family, and it affected Heather's family, and it affected Sheila's children. And now it's affecting Sheila's grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. But it all, you know, and of course they had to make their own decisions, but it all started with the decision that we made to continue in the things of God. Amen. You know, sometimes people backslide and quit, and others just kind of back off and don't continue like they should. Sometimes because they're discouraged. Sometimes because they've been hurt and wounded in some way. Sometimes because they don't keep themselves stirred up spiritually, which is, you know, not the church's responsibility, it's your responsibility. Sometimes because of spiritual apathy and laziness. Sometimes people just get too busy with the affairs of life, the busyness of life and so forth, and with the cares of this life. And so for those reasons, you know, people don't continue in the things of God. But if you don't continue doing the things that caused you and are causing you to grow in the Lord and overcome and be blessed and to be a blessing, amen, and to get out of the mess that you were initially in, then you won't just stand still. You'll eventually go backwards and you'll lose out and miss God and not be the person that He wants you to be and not be the blessing to others that you could be. And in some cases, unfortunately, you know, we see people come along and, you know, God gets them out of a mess and they start growing and their children, you know, come to church and their lives are changed. But after 2 or 3 or 4 years, for whatever reason, they begin to back off, to not continue. And then all of a sudden you see them, you know, a year later or 2 years later, and they're in the mess that they originally were, or a worse mess. Amen. And we don't want that to happen. Can you say amen? And that's why, again, I really like this. That's why, that's 2 Timothy. But that's why Paul told Timothy and us, really, this is God talking to us, in 1 Timothy 4:16. This is very interesting here. Notice what God tells all of us. Watch this. 1 Timothy 4:16, Paul said, take heed to yourself and to doctrine. Well, we all know we need to have good doctrine. Isn't that right? I mean, you can't, if you think wrong, you'll believe wrong and you'll act wrong and you won't get Bible results. Amen. So you have to have good doctrine. But he said, so take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. There's that word again. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. Amen. So, but notice what he says. He says, take heed. In other words, pay attention to. That's what it means to take heed. Take heed to. Pay attention to. Make sure that you have good, sound biblical doctrine. But before he said that, he said, take heed to yourself. Now, if we continue in the things of God, like I said, it's going to impact your life. It's going to impact your children. It's going to impact your children's children. It's going to impact your great-grandchildren. It's going to impact, and from there, others around you. But first, he said, take heed to yourself. Amen. In other words, watch out for yourself. Pay close attention to yourself and your life. In other words, concentrate on making sure you are continuing to walk with God as you should and live for God as you should and walk in the light as you should. Take heed to yourself. Amen. The Passion Translation says, give careful attention to your spiritual life. Amen. And so give careful attention to your spiritual life and give careful attention to doctrine. You don't want to be believing a bunch of religious nonsense that doesn't have anything to do with the Word of God or the traditions of men or rules and legalistic rules and regulations that have absolutely nothing to do with genuine holiness and spirituality. Amen. But he says, if you'll first of all, I mean, he's telling Timothy, he's pastor of the biggest church in the world at that time. And it's also God talking to us. First of all, I need you to take heed to yourself. Pay careful attention to your life. Amen. But take care of yourself spiritually. Make sure that you're alert spiritually. Make sure you're spiritually, walking like you should walk. Take heed to yourself. Take heed to doctrine. Then you will save. Now, wait a minute. What does the word save mean? It means, remember, save is that word. It means to be healed. It means to be delivered. It means to prosper. It means to be protected. It means to be blessed in every possible way. If you will take heed to yourself and make sure that you have good doctrine, then you will save. You will be healed. You will be made whole. You'll be protected. You'll be blessed yourself. And isn't that what it says? Both yourself and those who hear you. Continue. That's what he says. Glory to God. Continue in them. Amen. Then your life will be delivered and saved and blessed and made whole, spirit, soul, and body. And so will those who hear you. And that starts with those in your own home. Your life will influence them. How many of you know that's so? Praise God. Amen. And then it influences your spouse. It influences your children. And it spreads out from there. So again, we see it's important that you continue, that you get on course, that you stay on course, and that you finish your course. And the benefits are far beyond anything we have ever really imagined in this life and in the life to come. Because we continue. Interesting word in it, the continue. Now go ahead and over to the book of Hebrews. I'm going to take you through that relatively quick here and just point some things out to you. Keep in mind, Hebrews talks a lot about not drawing back. See, to continue means to keep on keeping on. To continue means you keep doing what you should be doing. The opposite of continue is, like we said, to draw back, to quit, to give up, or to not move forward. And so the book of Hebrews talks a lot about that. You'll remember that as we go through it. You know, he talks about hold fast, and all those different scriptures. Hebrews was written to Jews who have become Christians. So they've left Old Testament Judaism, and they're now born-again Christians, and they live in a time and period where they face tremendous persecution and pressure, and they were tempted to return to Old Testament Judaism. That's why, because you all know this, when you read in the book of Hebrews, he compares the new covenant to the old covenant, and what he's doing is he's showing the superiority of the new to the old. He said, listen, this is much, much better. We have a better covenant based on better promises. That's in this book. He talks about the blood of bulls and goats versus the blood of Jesus. He says, don't draw back. You need to continue on, in other words. And so that's part of the theme here. And you have to understand the persecution they were facing. I mean, you and I face persecution today. You know that, but not like they faced. I mean, their very lives were threatened during this particular era. It hasn't always been that way in every society throughout the last 2,100 years. But, they would come in and steal their property and destroy their property. They made it hard for them, because they were Christians, to work in the marketplace. In other words, if you went to the store, or tried to go out and do a job, they wouldn't hire you. They wouldn't buy your goods from you. They wouldn't let you be like you. You couldn't get a paycheck. You think that's important? And so they were facing a lot of pressure. Their property was being destroyed. They were being oppressed, being thrown in jail and even killed for being a Christian was a reality. It was a genuine, real threat for them. And they weren't able to do business. So they started out trusting God, even though they were facing all this persecution. They were trusting God. They were believing God. And right in the midst of all that hell, God was protecting them and prospering them. But now they were discouraged, and they're tempted to compromise. Just go ahead and compromise and agree with society, and then they'll leave you alone. No, they're tempted to compromise. They're tempted to not trust God and tempted to abandon their faith. Now, with that background, let's just think about some of the things that Paul said to these Hebrew Christians. Amen. Because those things apply to all of us, or to any believer that is being tempted to back off or let up for any reason. Because there's different reasons why a person might not continue. As Paul said, continue. So Hebrews 2:1, for instance. This is interesting. He says, therefore we give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we what? Drift away. Some people are always looking for something new. But, Paul here says, give the more earnest heed to the things you have heard, lest we drift away. I read that and I was reminded, and I looked it up. I found it, in one of Brother Copeland's daily devotionals. One of his devotions is dedicated to that. So this is his faith-to-faith devotion. And this is right here. He quotes that scripture and he says, it's happened to all of us. We get a little of the Word of God under our spiritual belts. We have a few victories. Our lives are going great for the first time in years. Then suddenly we slip and it falls apart. We find ourselves having to start all over again. That's what happened to the people in the book of Hebrews. They made such great spiritual progress that they got to the place where they should have been teachers, but then they slipped back so much they needed baby food again. You remember that? That's Hebrews chapter 5. What caused them to fall so far? They let other things get in the way of their faith. They let the promises of God slip, so they slipped. That's happened to a multitude of believers in the last several years. Amen. That people have turned their attention away from the promises of God. It's not that they don't believe them anymore. It's just that they've directed their attention to other things. They let their word level drop. And since low word level equals low faith level, they soon begin suffering defeat in areas they once had victory in. Don't let that happen to you. When things are going well, don't just ride the tide of God's blessings. Dig deeper into what God has for you. Give more earnest heed to the things you've learned and to the promises of God. Concentrate on moving ahead, on becoming so strong in the Spirit you can not only get your needs met, you can meet others' needs as well. Remember, low word level equals low faith level, equals slipping. Don't get so busy enjoying today's victory that tomorrow ends up in defeat. Look into the things you've learned. Give the word more of your attention, not less. Keep moving from faith to faith. Can you say amen? And so we see that. Now again, remember, he's talking to people. He's in essence telling them to continue on. Don't draw back. Don't let up. Don't give up. Don't quit. And so in Hebrews chapter 3, real quick here, verse number 6, but Christ is a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm. In verse 14, he says, for we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast in the faith. In Hebrews chapter 5, you know, he talks about, verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, now you need somebody to teach you again. Glory to God. Because he says here that you've become hardened in your heart, dull of hearing, verse number 11, of whom we have much to say, hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. Then he tells them to leave the principles of the things that they first learned and go on to maturity, praise God. Pass on to maturity, chapter 6 talks about. And he warns them against what? Falling away. If you fall away, you don't continue. Hebrews 6:12 says, don't be sluggish spiritually. Look at that. Do not become sluggish spiritually, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Can you say amen? Amen. So don't be sluggish. And you know this, but through faith and patience, patience is faith that doesn't quit, faith that continues, amen, despite the pressures of this life, despite the challenges that you have in life, despite the pressures of the flesh, and despite the contradictory circumstances that you're facing, don't back off, don't quit, continue to believe the word, continue to stay in faith. You got to get in faith, but you got to stay in faith. If you don't stay in faith, you'll never have victory like you should have. Amen. And so, and it's kind of funny too, as you look up this word through faith and patience. If you look up this word patience, you know, which is translated to endure, stay firm, you know, and it really, really carries the attitude. It's a battle term, really, from a soldier's in battle. They've been told to hold their position, and the idea is this: even though. You know this is going to be hard, and even if it's going to be difficult, don't you give up one inch of ground. I don't care if they're coming at you with 200 men, and there's not but five of you holding this hill. You endure. You stand strong, and don't you give in. Don't give up anything. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. And so that's the idea. So through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Isn't it interesting that it's in this very book here, in the book of Hebrews, where believers are in danger of not continuing. They're you know, tempted to go back into Old Testament Judaism. That'd make their lives easier. They're tempted to go back into the world. They're tempted to, they're not developing spiritually as they should. It's in this book where they're warned not to draw back and fall away. It's this book where he says in Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. It's interesting that it's in this book, isn't it? Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. So as Andrew Womack said, the worse the times, the more we need each other. The worse the times, the more we need each other. And so you just go on again, just skimming this kind of fast. Hebrews 10:23. You just see this over and over in this book. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast. You know, if you have to hold fast something, it means it's trying to get away from you. You know, it's like you tell your son, he's helping you do something. Say, hold on to that, son, hold on to that. Doug and I were fishing, three or four years ago, and just, you know, Wyatt seems such like my grandson Wyatt's, you know, a junior in high school now, but, you know, he's just 3 or 4 years ago, he's just 10, 12-year-old boy, and I hung a big old catfish, you know. Well, being an experienced fisherman, I know this is not a bass because they don't fight like that, and no bass, you know, this 20-pound catfish, bass isn't going to fight like that, and that catfish just kind of wallers around, and you recognize that, but it's still fun to catch a 20-pound anything. So I handed the rod to Wyatt, you know, my grandson. And so his eyes lit up, and he's holding it. Of course, the rod has been over because he's a relatively light rod. It's not like deep sea fishing. You know, we got like 12-pound line on here. And as Doug says, we're rod snobs. You know, we got expensive rods, and we got expensive reels. And so this rod and reel combination is probably $400 or $500. And so Wyatt's fighting this thing, you know, and he's holding on. And Doug is over on the side going, hold on to that, Wyatt. Wyatt, make sure you got a good grip on that. Wyatt, I mean, she said, oh, Wyatt, hold that now, Wyatt. Don't let it go now, Wyatt. Because he doesn't want me to lose my rod, you know. Well, if you have to hold fast something, you wouldn't be warned to hold fast something if there wasn't a danger of it slipping away from you. And so God, the Holy Spirit, tells us, hold fast the confession of our hope. Literally, this better reads, let us hold fast on to our confession of faith in the unshakable things we hope for. Let us hold fast our confession of faith in the unshakable things we hope for. Amen. Without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Again, he's telling people, don't quit, don't back up, don't let go, but continue to believe, continue to confess the word. Hebrews, you know, 10:35. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great recompense of a reward. And verse 38, the just shall live by faith. If anybody draws back, don't draw back. What's the opposite of drawing back? Continue. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. That means you keep on keeping on the race that is set before you. Verse 3, for consider him who endured such hostility from sinners, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. If you become weary and discouraged, then you will continue. So the book of Hebrews is telling believers over and over again, don't draw back, don't give up, don't quit, don't go back into the world, don't go back into Judaism, don't let go of your faith, keep trusting God, keep believing the promises of God. In other words, continue for your own sake and for the sake of others. God wants us to continue. Amen. And not back off for any reason or draw back ever. Can you say amen? Amen. Now, in the time we have left, let me show you something that's really, really mind-boggling when you really get a hold of what's being said here. So let's go over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Are you out there? You all right? Philippians 1. Paul is in prison when he wrote this letter to the Philippians. He's not under house arrest here, you know, where people, one time he's under house arrest and stayed in his own private house and people could come and go. You know, that's not good because you're limited, but that's not what this is. Paul is in a horrible, horrible prison. He is in Think Dungeon. This is a hellhole. And Paul is in prison, and he's writing to the Philippians, and he's encouraging them, and he's trying to comfort them. And Philippians is known as the book of joy. Amen. There's only four, you know, in four chapters, wrote this down, in four chapters, where's that at? In four chapters, Paul writes about having joy 14 times. So Paul is in this Roman dungeon where he was at. Most people never came out. They were either executed, or before their execution date came up, they were either strangled, or they starved to death, or they were tortured. Romans and the Roman society at that time, they had a high tolerance for pain and torture. Didn't bother them. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they had developed it. Just the way they crucified people and the way they killed people and tortured people. And so Paul's in this horrible, horrible place. And he's in what most people believe is what's called the Marmartine or the Marmartine prison. Marmartine. You can look it up online. You can go visit it. Amen. And you can see photos of it online. Now, when you see photos of it online, it's going to be all cleaned up. It's just going to be this little place about the size of our stage here. It's just going to be nice, clean block walls. And they put in a very nice altar there with a couple of pictures. So it looks really cool place. But when Paul was in it, it wasn't a cool place. It was a dungeon. It was a bad place where many people died and where most people never got out. And so, but yet in the book of Philippians, he's telling these Philippians to have joy. He's encouraging them in the faith. He's telling them to remain strong and so forth. And so you can read here in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it became evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ, that my chains are in Christ. The Marmartine prison is under the palace. It was actually used as kind of a sewer for the palace there. And so he's in this horrible place, and you gotta watch this. You gotta follow me here. Verse 19. He says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ." Verse 21. "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He says, look, whether I live or die, let me tell you how I think about this. If I live, I'm going to live for Christ. I'm going to do His work. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to be a blessing to others. I'm going to enjoy what belongs to me in Christ. And if I die, it's gain. Amen. "But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. But if I stay here and continue ministering, then more people are going to get saved. There's going to be other churches raised up. I'm going to continue to do different things for God." He says, "For I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better." Let me back up verse 22 again. "If I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart." To depart means you're going to die in this prison. You're going to leave your physical body. Your spirit's going to leave your body. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And you're going to go be with Christ. And he says, that's far better. Amen. So, I mean, if you're in this dungeon of a prison, and you have already done, at this point in his life, Paul has already done more for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ than any man that's ever lived has ever done. He's already written. He hadn't written everything that we know about, because he writes some books after this. But he's already written, 9 or 10 of the New Testament books that he's written. He's already raised up these churches, already been used like nobody, him and Peter, used by God in miraculous ways and powerful ways. And he says, look, if I die here, I just go be with Christ. And for me, that's gain. And for me, that's going to be far better. Verse 24, "Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you for all your progress, and joy of faith." So in verses 21 through 24, there are some marvelous truths here that Paul tells us. We usually use these, we use them all the time, but we use them particularly at funerals to tell people, your loved one that went home to be with the Lord, for them it's gain, glory to God. They departed, they're now with Christ, and that's far better. So you need to focus your attention on their gain, not your loss. Amen. And that's hard for us to do sometimes, but if you'll focus your attention on their gain and not your loss, then it'll make things much, much, much better. But here's what's going on. Paul's in prison. People are dying there. People are dying all around him. People are executed there. There came a time when Paul was in prison and he did not get out and they executed him. There is absolutely no reason to believe that Paul is ever going to get out of this prison. There's no reason to believe this. And Paul said, if I die, I'll go be with the Lord. It's far better. If I live, I'm going to keep living for Christ. I'm going to keep being a blessing to you guys and encourage you and teach you and help you and instruct you. And he said, either way, I win. And then he said, I don't know which one I'm going to choose. Did he say that? If words mean anything, Paul said, it's up to me what I'm going to do here. Now, there came a time when it wasn't up to him, but in this particular incident, he said, it's up to me. And he said, so, bottom line, as you go back and forth with this, bottom line, he says, he in essence said, I'm confident of this. I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and for your joy of faith. So Paul has made the decision, I'm going to come out of this prison. I'm not going to die here, and I'm going to keep on being a blessing to you, and I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to continue. He's making the decision. Within my spirit, even though I've accomplished so much and done so much for the Lord, I have not done everything that God has called me to do yet, so I'm going to go on and keep on keeping on and continue. Paul, that's wonderful, that's beautiful, that's powerful. But these Roman prisoners, they don't have the revelation. They don't give a flip about your Christianity. They don't give a flip about what you're going to do and how you're going to go on. So in other words, to come out of this prison, he's going to have to pick himself up. He's going to have to be courageous. He's going to have to fight the good fight of faith. He's going to have to be strong in the grace of God. He's going to have to be strong in prayer. He's going to have to be strong in the Holy Spirit. And he's going to come out because he believes God and because he's depending on their prayers. And so he's saying by faith, I'm coming out of this prison. And he did. And after this experience, I'll say some more about this in a minute, but after this experience, he had several highly productive years in ministry. Some people think his most productive. Amen. Now, keep all of that in mind and look at Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Because this all goes together, you know. Philippians 3, verse 8. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, Paul knew God, and he operated in resurrection power like nobody else did. Amen. And Paul knew he would experience the bodily, that his physical body would be resurrected at the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like yours will, just like mine will, unless we're alive when the rapture comes. He knew his body would be raptured. So that's what he's talking about when he uses that expression, be raised out from the dead. No, right here, he uses a different word for resurrection than he uses in other places. And this word resurrection here means to be raised out from among the dead. He's still in prison at this time. See, he writes this letter to the Philippians. He's allowed to do that because he is a Roman citizen. Amen. So if anybody wanted to help him, weren't afraid of being of those guards, they could get some stuff to him, and he could get letters to him, and he could write letters. And so he said, I'm going to experience the out resurrection. I'm going to be raised out from among this death that is all around me. Glory to God. Amen. He said, I need resurrection power right here in the middle of all this death to bring me out, and I'm going to experience that. Verse 12 and 13. Now, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself, verse 13, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus. Watch this. Paul's saying, I'm in prison. I could go ahead and go be with the Lord. That's far better. Better for me. If I go to be with the Lord, I gain. Amen. I've already had more revelations than anybody's ever going to have in the New Testament church. You know, you realize that Paul wrote a great deal of the New Testament. I could go be with the Lord. But going back to chapter 1, everything he said, but Paul comes to this realization, I need to continue. I have not yet finished. You need to get on course. You need to stay on course. You need to finish your race. He said, God's not yet finished with me. And so he says, I'm not finished. And he says, I'm going to forget those things that are behind me. Now listen carefully. People usually say, because he said, forgetting those things which are behind me. You've heard hundreds of scriptures, messages on this. I've preached it too, and it's not necessarily wrong. But he says, people usually say this means forget your past failures, forget your past mistakes, forget your past sins, and move on with God, and don't let the past hold you back. Well, listen, that's a good point. That's not just a good point, that's an outstanding point. That's an excellent point. And it's true. We should not ever let our past dictate our future. But I'm absolutely convinced that's not what Paul is saying in this particular scripture, in this context and in this setting. Paul is saying, I'm going to forget my past victories. I'm going to forget my past revelations. I'm going to not forget them in the sense that I don't remember them, but I'm not going to be just, you know, let it be all. I'm going to forget my successes. I'm going to forget my past accomplishments and my past achievements. I'm going to forget in the sense that I won't let my past successes keep me from going forward and continuing on to do all that God has called me to do and to keep me from moving forward and to finish my particular race. I'm not done yet. So I've made up my mind. I'm not going to die here. I'm going to believe God. I know that I will come back and be a blessing to you guys and to others. Glory to God. I'm going to experience resurrection out from among this death that is all around me. I'm going to forget my past accomplishments, my past victories, and I'm going to go on and do everything that God has called me to do because I'm going to continue in the things of God. Hallelujah. See, if you quit, if you stop, if you draw back, which is the opposite of continuing, then you dry up. Or you become ineffective. Or you quit growing. And you quit being the blessing to others that you could be and that you need to be. You, like I said when we started this, your kids need you. Your grandkids need you and your influence. Paul said, I'm not done. I will get out of this prison. I will go on. And so that's why he says, I press on. I continue on. To press means to continue seriously, doesn't it? I press on with passion, with conviction. I press on. I'm forgetting those things which are behind and reach forward. I press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling. Now listen to me. Church historians tell us, Rick Renner tells us, that Paul lived on 10 more highly productive years. And he wrote, it's hard to know because nobody knows the exact timeline of the events. Nobody really knows. We can get a pretty good idea. But Paul wrote at least the books of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, and he probably wrote four of the New Testament books that you would not have if Paul died right here. He wrote at least three, probably four more New Testament books. Aren't you glad he wrote those books? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. And then in 2 Timothy, Paul's last letter, written shortly before his death, all scholars agree on that, several years after happening, 10 years after the happenings of him writing this letter to the Philippians, Paul says in 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, listen to this. He says, now I'm ready to be poured out as an offering to God. In other words, he's going to be martyred. He knows that. I'm ready to give my life for the Lord. My departure is at hand. He knew that. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my race and I have kept the faith and a crown of righteousness awaits me. Hallelujah. Now it's time, Paul says. Now I'm done. Listen, we may not be in prison facing death, but it's clear we should continue on. It's clear we should press forward. It's clear we should never back off or quit until we finish our particular race. Listen carefully. I'm closing. We're past time a minute. Don't let the pull of the flesh. Don't let selfish desires, which leads to a low quality of life with all kinds of problems, living after the flesh, doing your own thing, not serving God, that leads to a low quality of life with all kinds of problems. Don't let the pull of the flesh and the desires to satisfy selfish things keep you from continuing on. Don't let discouragement stop you from keeping on. Don't let the pressures of this life and the problems of this life stop you from continuing on. Don't let the everyday busyness of life, life is busy, keep you from going on. Don't let spiritual apathy keep you from continuing on. And don't ever let past accomplishments, victories, keep you from pressing forward. Don't let anything keep you from continuing on in the things that you have learned. That's where we started. Continue on in the things that you have learned and been assured of. Continue in the Word. Continue in grace. Continue in brotherly love, the Bible says. Continue in prayer. All of these things. Glory to God. For your sake and for the sake of others and because you love God, get on track, stay on track, and continue on until you finish your race. Can you say amen? Let's stand together. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Now, you know, things change in life. I tell people all the time because I have a little bit better understanding of certain things as I've gotten older, you know. But I say, there's nothing wrong with you retiring. And you know, but you don't retire from the Lord, though. You know, Brother Hagin slowed down, you know, toward the end of his life there, like at Winter Bible Seminar. You know, normally for all those years, he had done morning services and night sessions, morning service. And at the end of his life, he said, you know, because he's 87, he said, I believe I'd do a better job if I just do the morning services. The night services. So somebody else is going to do the. So you know, you got to have some wisdom. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you because you're not out there killing yourself. That's not the Lord's will. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. I was talking to a group of ministers one time, and you know, I was about 60 when I was doing this message. I said, you know, Brother Hagin was about my age when I first came in contact with him. It's my age right now. And they were all going, yeah, that's right. Because I was talking to a bunch of them that I knew by the Spirit. That they're in their young 60s, and they want to retire to Florida and be the pro whatever, what do you call it, pastor of their church and still get their salary. I'm saying, you know, you guys have used your faith. You've raised up churches. You've seen people healed. You've seen the power of God. You've experienced the power of God. It's not time to just give up and quit just yet, you know. Continue on with God. Amen. Don't rest on your laurels, as they say. Hallelujah. I don't know what a laurel is, but don't rest on them anyway. Say, I'm going to continue on. God bless you. You're dismissed. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.